Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Blog Talk Radio and your host, Joanne McCall. This show is dedicated to helping you learn to effectively market and publicize you and your business. Being proactive with these ideas will help you to attract more visibility and attention, which will ultimately result in more clients and customers. And now here is your host on Blog Talk Radio, Joanne McCall.
All right. Thank you very much, John Erickson. Hello, hello, and welcome to Your Brand on Blog Talk Radio. I'm Joanne McCall, and happy as always to be here. We've got a great show for you today. Now, I know I always say that. I do. I always say that, and I always mean it, too, because we try to bring in great guests who can help you as you build your brand and your business, and today is absolutely no exception. So I'm very excited about today's show. Let's take a look at what's going on in the economy. I mean, this is no surprise to anybody. It's a challenge. There's no question about it, and at this point in time, a number of people have been let off and let go from their jobs, and they're in the position of freelancing, perhaps, or starting a consulting business, or maybe taking a chance and actually launching a business. And for those who still are at work at a particular company, or actually entrepreneurs who have already built a business, for you too, I mean, it's a challenging time. There's no question about it. So we thought that a show on marketing and building your brand on a shoestring budget would be a really great thing. So for those of you who have already built your companies, I mean, we're looking for ways to cut costs. There's no question about that. And those who find themselves out on their own now, you have expertise, you have great ideas for a company, you're getting going at this point. Well, I think our guest today is really going to shine some light and help all of us to market on a shoestring budget, basically. So Kathleen Mattson is joining us today, and Kathleen has been in high-tech marketing communications for the last 20-plus years, including marketing and technical writing, design, web design and management, general marketing communications, and project management. She works with agencies, with internal teams, and she even does one-on-one coaching, so I think she's really a perfect guest for us today. So Kathleen, I want to welcome you to Your Brand. Thanks for being here.
Thank you, Joanne. It's good to be here.
Well, I think that this is a great topic, and it's a great time to delve into this. Let me start with this question, Kathleen. Did you at some point in your working career, were you working for someone else and suddenly found yourself out on your own?
Unfortunately, just like so many other people out there, yes, I did have that experience. It first happened in the early 90s. I don't know how many of you out there remember the first big job problems that we all had. I spent over a year looking for a job and not really finding one, and just to not just make ends meet, but also to keep my mind sharp, you know, to keep myself on top of what was going on in my industry, I did freelancing. And I loved it. And what I found is that I preferred working that way over working in the corporate setting. So It was a very instructive experience for me to learn that that's how I wanted my career to go.
Gee, I feel like I'm talking to another version of myself.
I know.
I went through something rather similar, different industry, of course, but found myself out and on my own. And it's definitely challenging. There's a transitional period going from the mentality of working for someone else to working for yourself, as you no doubt know. In fact, probably the first one that hit me was I couldn't call the IT department and ask them to fix my computer. I mean, suddenly I was it, you know. If there was a problem with the computers, I had to deal with it. So for those who find themselves there, and I love it, the fact that you've been through it, so you really know what people are going through. So let's start with your suggestions on where would someone begin.
Well, I think the first thing that's the most fundamental is to ask yourself, how serious are you about this? Really be realistic with yourself. Are you doing this just until you find a corporate job, or are you seriously going to try to launch this as a real business? Because that will tell you how much you want to invest in launching a brand. If you are just going to be freelancing until you find a business, then, you know, get yourself a nice business card and a website with nothing more than your phone number and be done with it. But if you want to be serious about launching this as a business, you need to go all out. But there are ways to do that without breaking the bank.
Okay, let's start there. What would you suggest? And well, let me just add one more thing. I think that there's a third category, but not everybody knows if they're going to be in it or not. And those are the ones who intend to get another job with a company, but it doesn't happen.
Yes, I think too many people, they start out saying, I'm just going to do this until I get a real job, and then they find themselves two, three years down the road and doing fine as a freelancer, and just kind of accidentally it becomes a real business for them.
Exactly. Okay, so then, so your first suggestion would be, let's go with people who are going for this. Let's start there with people who are
going
for it.
Yeah, I think that's who we should be talking to here. And then, of course, you can ramp it up or down based on where your situation is. But The first thing you want to do is decide what you want to call your business. It's perfectly fine to just use your own name. My name's Kathleen Mattson, and I'm a consultant, and just go and get a domain and get your email addresses and everything with your own name. You don't have to have a real hoity-toity professional company name in order to be successful. When you come up with what your name will be, you want to get a domain name, and that's really important. If you're sending out emails to people, you don't want it to be from, you know, joe@hotmail.com. You want it to be from joesmith.com so that it looks very professional. It makes your customers comfortable that you are a real business and that you're going to be around when they need you.
Okay. That's a good point. I would also add that they should get their name in the social networking sites, too. Would you agree with that?
Absolutely. Once you decide what that name is going to be, then you need to get it out there. You'll sign on with Twitter and Facebook and LinkedIn. I'm sure there are new ones every day that you should get out there with. But also, if you are at all serious about this being a real business, you do need to go to your Secretary of State website and do a name search. Obviously, if you're using just your own personal name, you don't need to do that. But if you come up with a different name, like, you know, Red Horse Marketing or something, then you do need to do a name search just to make sure you don't have someone out there already using that name.
Okay, that makes sense.
Mm-hmm. I use a service, it's oneandone.com, and I put a link to them on my website. So my website is millermattson.com, and that's Mattson with two T's. And it's a really convenient site for checking if domain names are available, and then they have hosting for your website that's pretty inexpensive. I think I have six or seven different domains, and for each one I spend between $50 and $60 a year to host and have my website there and have all those email addresses.
And it's one-on-one?
It's one and one.
And
if you just go to millermattson.com on the resources tab, there's a link to it there.
All right. Excellent. Okay. Next step.
Another thing that I suggest is to get multiple domains, especially with oneandone.com. When you sign up with them, you get two domains, and with some of their packages, you get three for the same price. And so if you're going to be spending that money to get the one, you might as well get the others that they give you for free. One common thing is to get a common misspelling. So if you, for example, I had a client that started a business, RagingFjord.com, so they got Raging Fjord spelled correctly, and then they also got Raging Fjord spelled incorrectly just so that they could make sure that they captured those visitors that were a little spelling challenged.
Okay. Very good.
Okay. So once you've done that, your next step is to start working on your brand, as Joanne said, as you said before, to get out there on LinkedIn, on Twitter, on Facebook. I do really urge people to not use those sites to just say what you had for breakfast, only say things that are meaningful. There are some people that I've had experience with who are getting into this very road. You know, they're starting their business. They want to get their name out there. And they're saying to themselves, I have to tweet something every day. And I think they're just alienating people. They're just spamming people. So wait till you have something meaningful to say, and then by all means say it.
Okay. I think that's good advice.
Mm-hmm. So then you want to think about a logo. I feel strongly, and I'm betting a lot of people out there will agree with this, a bad logo is worse than no logo at all. You're a big person in PR, Joanne, so I'm sure you have a lot to say about this. You know, it used to be any press is good press. I don't think I would say that anymore, would you?
No, definitely not. I mean, with, especially with social media and all of that, I mean, word can be out instantly. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
So if you have a logo that's really poorly designed, it looks like a junior high school student did it for you, you might be better off just sticking with a nice font. Just say the name of your company and be done with it. If you are a graphic designer or if you want to spend some money and hire a designer, then this is a good place to do that.
And then go ahead. Sorry.
And you're going to look to spend anywhere on the shoestring. I doubt you would get a good logo design for under $500. Mm-hmm. I think you're going to be looking at more like $1,000 for an inexpensive logo design. And that designer is going to ask you questions about your goals and your audience, your color palette, and also what kind of tone you want to set and what kind of products you have and what kind of market you have. And once you get that logo, you use it consistently everywhere you can.
You know, as someone I interviewed on the show some weeks ago, Matthew Chan was talking about how color, there's scientific research that's been done on color, and there are actually books out there that go into that, the kind of emotions that the color yellow will stir up in people, or the color red or blue and green. That might be worthwhile taking a look at, too.
Very much so. And then also you need to take into account what your reach is, because if you, for example, if your company is going to be only in the United States, red means what, danger and stop. But if you're marketing in other parts of the world, red might mean something completely different to other companies and other societies. So that's another thing to take into account.
I thought red was always hot and sizzle. I better read those studies.
You know, I wish I should have looked this up beforehand, but I remember this as the big example of that in China, red means something entirely different, like it's good luck or something like that, which it really is almost the opposite of what it would be here in the United States.
So China would be my market.
Yeah, there you go.
Okay.
Yeah, I know, and all of your emails have your picture with you in your red sweater. On my website, on millermatson.com, on the resources tab, I have a link to this awesome free online tool. It's called Color Scheme Designer, and it's a really great way to interactively just kind of move your mouse around and see color schemes, and it develops palettes for you. And when you have a palette that you like, you can download or you can click on something, and it gives you all of the information you would need to give to a web designer or a logo designer so that they know exactly what colors you're interested in.
How interesting. I'm going to have to go check that out.
Yeah, it's awesome. Whenever I do logo design for people, or especially when I do web development for people, I always send them there, because otherwise what ends up happening is you waste a lot of dollars with your agency going back and forth just settling on a specific shade of teal. So this is a way that you can communicate with your agency to choose a specific color.
Especially if you have a lot of people on the team. Ooh.
Yes. Yes.
That's another show, though, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
Yeah. Okay.
So again, if you're not a designer and you don't want to spend the money on a professional logo, it is perfectly acceptable to just get a good font, just write your company name, and call it done.
Yeah. That's great.
So, but if you do that, I urge you, don't just use the fonts that came with your operating system, because that'll be the same font that everybody else is using.
Oh.
If you do decide to make a logo out of just the text of your company name, I suggest you buy a font. They're cheap. You can get a beautiful, unique-looking font for maybe $25. I recommend for that is called myfonts.com.
Mm-hmm.
And again, on my Miller Matson website, on the resources tab, I have a link to them. I love this site. I have become a font addict. They just have beautiful stuff, and they make it too easy to buy fonts. So it's a lot of fun.
Oh, okay. Well, we'll definitely have to check that one out.
Yeah.
So when it comes to building your brand, you know, you're looking at the website, we're looking at the logo and the colors and all of that, and the social media pieces and how they should all interact and look like they go together. And then, of course, the next thing that comes up is you could take it wherever you want to. I'm assuming business cards, stationery,
mm-hmm.
that kind of thing.
You
so
know, where you take
cool.
it next depends on how seriously you're taking the business and also on who your audience is. If you are marketing to an audience of technical people who live on their computers every day and you have a limited budget, spend your money on a website before you spend your money on business cards. If you're going to be out there networking with people face-to-face at events, you're going to need good business cards to hand out to people. So what you do next really depends on your audience, who you're talking to. If you do business cards, keep it simple. Unless you're a realtor, you know, or someone else that you're marketing your own personal self, keep your photograph off of your cards. And so, Joanne, you're actually an exception to that because you're marketing your own personal PR services. So it's you know, you have your photograph on your website. Or realtors, they are marketing their own personal services, so they have photos on their website. But, you know, if you're selling consulting services and business services, you might want to keep it more businessy.
Okay, that makes sense. When I was I was at an event a few weeks ago, and there was a panel of social media experts, and they were all speaking, and you know, a bunch of us in the audience, of course, were tweeting while that was going on because that's what's happening now. And I ran into Mari Smith, one of the she's an expert in Facebook and speaks all over the country, and probably a lot of people follow her and know her. She's a lovely person, and we started talking, and I exchanged cards, and she recognized the photo from the tweets that I had sent. Oh yeah, I saw that. Thank you for that.
Oh,
so
that
was
great.
So there was this nice connection, and that's why I put my picture on there. And your advice is very good. It depends on the kind of business that you have.
Mm-hmm.
But if you are meeting people, it's a way to get yourself in front of them pleasantly. And when they see that often enough, there's sort of a feeling like they know you.
There's that consistency factor, and it's very, very important. When I get an email from you, I see your photo. When I see tweets from you, there's your photo. If I go to your website, there's your photo, and it's all very consistent. And I think that's the key right there.
Well, I'm right on the right track.
Happily.
Yeah. Thank you.
If you do go with business cards, there are two services that I really like. They're online and they're inexpensive, and I've used them even for my own personal marketing. They're copycraft.com and overnightprints.com. And just to give you an idea, because this is all about shoestring budget, for Copycraft, for my little business, there's two of us here, so I bought 100 notepads for just $100. So I got 100 notepads with my logo on it that I can pass out to potential clients. Only $100.
Wow.
Right. And they're really neat. They're really neat looking. And so, anytime I mail an invoice to somebody or mail an article to somebody, there's an opportunity to enclose a note. And you know what? You need to have your logo on that note. So it's great to get these note cards. The other thing I got from overnightprints.com, I got 50 business cards from my partner and 100 from myself. So it's 150 cards for only $46, including shipping.
Wow.
And that was from a company called overnightprints.com. And they're very nice cards with rounded corners and everything. So, you know, even if you don't want to spend a fortune on cards, there are ways to do that. What I like about these companies the most is that you can order small quantities of things.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And so I even did some postcards for an artist. And what we did is we just ordered 50 of each card, and so that we could feature 3 different paintings. So I just ordered 3 sets of 50 cards. You could never do that with traditional printing.
Right. Right. It's amazing how accessible things are now.
Mm-hmm.
And the ability to create your brand and create your business. And you are a wealth of information. We're talking with Kathleen Madsen today. You can check out her website, kathleenmadsen.com. She has you have a link there for, what are you calling it, your little freebies? Or you're not calling it that.
It's actually millermadsen.com. And I have a tab on there called resources, where I have a lot of the URLs that I'm listing.
Thank you for the correction. I was
sure thing.
Your name. So millermadsen.com.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so what about people who they want the cards and they love that idea, but maybe they're not a designer? What would you suggest for them?
You really need to hire a professional. Again, just like with the logo, having a poorly designed card can be worse than no card at all. Because it looks amateurish, and it tells your potential customers that you don't know what you're doing.
Mm-hmm.
So hire a professional. You can hire a full-service agency. I also do business card layout and things like that. It doesn't have to be too expensive. I can say that any time you work with a professional, work with an agency or a designer, the more you already have figured out what you want, the less time you are paying that person to figure that out for you.
So you can
easily double the cost of a project by going in there and saying, oh, I don't know what I want. You figure it out for me. And I get that all the time. I have many people that do that.
Yeah.
And it's perfectly valid for you to go to a designer and say, you know, I don't really know what I want. Here's the sort of things I'm aiming for. Please give me some different ideas. Just understand that you're paying somebody for their time to do that.
Okay. Now that, when, what about websites? I'm backing up just a little bit, but it fits mm-hmm. in with having a professional look. I've seen a number of websites where they look very amateurish. They do.
Mm-hmm.
So what's your recommendation there? I assume it's similar to what you're saying about the cards.
Yes, it is. You know, like what I was saying before with these note cards and the business cards, what I like about those companies is that you can buy them in small quantities, because I'm one of those people, as you know, Joanne, I sit at home all day and I work. I never go out. I don't really see people face-to-face much. I didn't need many cards. What I need is to make sure I have a good website. So, yeah, you need to keep it simple. Unless you know how to do web development, I know a lot of people out there can do that. If you don't know how to do it, hire someone to do it for you. Yes, HTML is easy. It's not so hard to learn. But why are you going to spend, you know, 6 weeks of your time learning how to make a website when that's not your business? Your business is to be making money and sell your services, not to learn web development. So I encourage people to hire professionals.
That's good.
An alternative is a lot of companies that offer web hosting give you these templates so that you can make a website. Mm-hmm. Don't do that. Don't do that, because what you're going to end up with is a site that looks like you plugged it into a template.
Right.
And there are going to be plenty of other people using the exact same template you chose.
That's right. I just want to add here, because it just fits in so well, I often recommend, you know, doing the PR services that I do for authors to hire a great editor, or if I'm coaching someone to write their own publicity materials and they don't really like to write or they're finding it really challenging, hire a great writer. There are great writers out there. They're not that expensive, because they can write that press release or that press kit in a very short period of time compared to the amount of time that you're going to spend suffering or procrastinating and not doing it at all, but
exactly.
You know, whining about it. I mean, just hire someone. So I wanted to add that, because you were on
that. And that's an important point. And to bring it back to the shoestring topic, you have a good idea of what you want to say. You just need a professional to say it for you. So give your, when you work with a professional writer, provide them with your notes or your outlines or whatever. Give them a shoebox full of envelopes that you've written on the back of. But the more information you give that writer, they can easily then just edit it and turn it into your finished copy. Again, the more
really?
You give them to begin with, absolutely.
Have you had someone hand you a shoebox with envelopes? And?
Oh, yes. That's why I say that. That's why I bring up that example. I've had that happen. Envelopes and note, even receipts, even the backs of receipts.
Wow. But I can see you'd kind of like that.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Writing is my thing.
Very interesting. Okay. Oh, I kind of jumped ahead to the website piece. Let's talk a little more about that. Let's see. You want to choose a domain carefully, which you covered. Keep it simple. And anything else you want to add about websites, the importance of them?
The web copy, which is what we were just talking about, keep it short, keep it brief. You want your users to do as little scrolling and clicking as possible. Have a call to action on every page. Every page, it should be a, you know, contact this person or download this white paper or look at this sample. There needs to be an action for the user to do on every page. But keep it simple is very important, I think. Sometimes people get very excited about, ooh, I'm going to have a website. I need to have a flash animation. I need to have a dynamic menu. I need to have flashing things. And, you know, that's just a waste. It's a waste of your time and a waste of your money if you're paying someone to do that for you. And just keep it simple.
Okay.
Another important thing, which really, you know, originally when I was speccing out this whole conversation, I almost put this at the very beginning, but I'll talk about it now. When you do your website and when you do anything else, be sure to figure out specifically who you are talking to. Define your audience. Picture the person who's going to look at it, because that'll make a big difference on how you design the layout of your site. And an example I have of that is one of the early webmaster jobs I had, the CEO of the company really wanted each section of the website to be based on a different business unit of his company. Well, that wasn't very smart because that means nothing to his customers. So when we redesigned the site so that it was based on what the customers wanted to see, our sales shot through the roof.
Interesting. Okay, So you want to think about who your market is and who you're trying to attract, and not necessarily, see, I think this is a good distinction to make, not necessarily other competitors within the business. Now, you want to look at what they're doing to know what their strengths are and their weaknesses are, but you don't want to cater to them. I think that I see that quite a bit.
Yeah, you know, you're not designing for you. You're designing for your customers. And I feel pretty safe in saying that this is a very common mistake that small businesses make when designing their websites, is they're designing what they think looks cool without taking into consideration what is an effective website for sales to their customers.
Do you ever do like focus groups for this kind of thing, or what?
I've been involved with companies doing focus groups, but I've never really gotten involved in that myself.
Okay, so then how do you determine exactly who the customer is through? Just asking questions.
Well, it's called personas, so you define who your audience is. And then as a writer, this isn't so hard for me, but I kind of develop a whole backstory. Here's who this person is. Here's the type of thing this person does. This is what the person looks like. I actually develop a persona for each one of my main audiences, and then I just kind of imagine, okay, if this person was at my website, what would they be seeing and what would they be doing? But again, I'm a writer, so I guess I'm a little wacky and can approach it that way.
Well, actually, you know, I wish some big companies would listen to this show and listen to what you're saying, because I won't name any names at the moment, but I can think of one in particular, and there are many, actually, that I think that they feel they have to update their websites constantly in order to feel like they're doing their jobs. And I'm not going to keep going back. If I have to spend a half hour every time trying to figure out how they have newly moved everything around.
Yes, consistency is so important, and you don't want your customers to have to relearn your website every time. They need to get comfortable there so they know, oh, I moved my mouse in this direction, and there's my buy button.
And how come, you know, look at Facebook. Maybe they should listen to this too.
Yes.
There's been a lot of hoopla about that lately.
Constantly.
All right. So we've got just about 2 minutes left, Kathleen. So let's what do you have, one or two major points you haven't made yet that you would still like to express?
Well, I think that it's important to know what you can do. Know your limits and pay someone else to do things that you can't do well yourself. Another thing is if you're starting a business, you've got your core competencies, work to those. If your business is involved in design, then by all means, do your own design. But if it's not in design, pay someone to do it for you. You're going to find that you're going to get a better result, and it'll be done much, much faster.
I think that's such great advice. And again, this is particularly for people who have just found themselves perhaps laid off and they're looking to freelance, maybe until the next job comes along, or maybe they're going to end up actually launching a business and doing that for years to come. That's what happened to me, and I know that's what happened to you.
Mm-hmm.
Kathleen, I want to thank you for joining us today. Again, your website, tell us that again.
It's millermatson.com, and that's Matson with two T's.
Why don't you go ahead and spell that?
It's millermatson.com.
Great, and you've got all kinds of resources there that people can check out, and we invite people to do that. Again, I want to thank you for taking time out of your day and sharing with us, Kathleen. I really do appreciate it. We'd love to have you back again someday.
Well, you know where I am.
Okay, yeah, I'll come and find you.
Thanks,
all right,
everyone.
Kathleen, thanks a lot.
Bye.
Okay, this is another version of Your Brand on Blog Talk Radio. I'm Joanne McCall. I want to thank you again for joining us today, and I hope you learned a lot from today's session with Kathleen Matson on all these various resources for marketing and publicity on a shoestring budget, building your brand. So that's what this show is all about. We're here every Friday, 1:30 Pacific, 4:30 Eastern Time, and we invite you to join us again next Friday for Your Brand on Blog Talk Radio. Take care.
You have been listening to Blog Talk Radio and your host, Joanne McCall. Produced by Joanne McCall Media Group. Written by Gary Lee and Bridget Mintz. Join us for more on how to generate more visibility in the marketplace for your book, product, business, service, or cause. For more on Ms. McCall, please visit her website at www.joannemccall.com.